I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
Jesus.
come and fill your lambs. Oh, come and sing this song with gladness as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness. Give Him all your years of pain. And you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your
create in us a clean heart. He can do it every minute of every day if we ask Him. You know, we were just singing about lambs. We're God's lambs. We're sheep. You know? Are you a good sheep or a bad sheep? He can fix bad ones too. Huh? He just gives us a new heart. And He washes us through the water of His Word, and He heals us, not only physically, but spiritually and mentally. And we learn how to think right and walk right and spit white, huh, Joe? Praise the Lord. So we're going to sing and ask Him to create a clean heart in us. Amen. We need a little washing.
Ooh, create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might be renewed. Create in me a clean heart of God, that I might serve You. Lord, heal me and fill me and make my life anew. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve You. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might be renewed. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve You. Lord, heal me and fill
Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come into your house and be in your presence. Lord, it just amazes me that you would visit us. Lord, I just pray that you would open up heaven for us today. I just pray that you would open your word for us today, Lord. And Lord, touch our hearts. Make the changes in us that you want to make. Help us be what you want us to be, Lord. We are all works in progress, Lord. Help us to grow strong in you. Help us to grow strong. Strong in obedience and strong in determination, Lord, to serve you. To be in your house, Lord, when you're here. Just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Apparently there's some type of event that's going on later today, which I'm totally ignoring. I don't care who wins. I don't care who loses. I don't care how many missed calls there are. I used to be the world's biggest football fan. If there's a game on, I'd do everything I could to watch it. But I guess I outgrew it. Or maybe it grew away from me. More important things, isn't there? Also, apparently the groundhog didn't see his shadow yesterday. For anybody that's keeping score, that's supposed to mean an early spring, which would be nice. I don't know. I read somewhere today that's actually predetermined. It's all rigged, so I don't know. Of course, somebody was telling me so is football, so that might be true too. Matthew chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 1 and read all the way through to verse 17. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist. Apparently he was a strange sight out there. He was very reminiscent of Elijah, the way he dressed and the way he acted, but mostly because of the enthusiasm he had for the Lord. You know, I envy people that can just let the everything of the Lord just take over everything in their lives. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just to focus nothing on nothing but the Lord and his ways. He was baptizing. Baptism, it wasn't really something new. A lot of people think it was, but it was a ceremonial cleansing originally. In Leviticus 1:13, it talks about the sacrifice being cleansed. Also in Leviticus, it talks about the priesthood. They had to be cleansed before they could minister. But John's baptism was different. It was a baptism of repentance. What is repentance really? Turn around. Submission. What is baptism? Submission. It's giving yourself over to God totally. It's dying to yourself. But it's also being resurrected to new things, isn't it? Jesus was very obedient. He was very submissive to the Father. Although he was God himself, he was still submissive. Hebrews 10:5-7 says, Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. This is a quote from Psalm 40, verses 6-8. I'm going to read that also. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. Our reading starts out in verse 1. It says, in those days came John the Baptist. In those days, the previous chapter was talking about Jesus and his family returning from Egypt and dwelling in Nazareth. In those days doesn't mean when he was a child. It means while he was dwelling in Nazareth. A lot of times in the Bible, when it says in those days, it's talking about a time of prophetic fulfillment. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Excuse me. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And all the Pharisees and all the people in the surrounding areas heard about their kingdom of heaven is at hand, and of course they got curious. And it attracted a lot of people. Many of them were baptized. Jesus attracted a lot of people. A lot of it was just curiosity. But there's always some, a remnant, that it means more to them. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This is a quote from Isaiah 40, verse 3. It says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, making his path straight. He's talking about Jesus in Isaiah. The word is, the Hebrew word, it's Strong's number 3068. It means Yahweh, or Jehovah, or Yahweh. However you pronounce it, many people think it's unpronounceable. Many people think you're not supposed to pronounce it because we don't want to dishonor it. In the Greek, this word here means supreme authority, comma, God. So what is Matthew saying that Jesus is? He's saying he's God. Many, many times in the Bible, the deity of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. To make his path straight, it said. In Luke 1:17, this was told to John the Baptist's father before he was born. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I don't know if John the Baptist knew exactly what he was supposed to do, but he was just supposed to prepare the way for the Lord. How he did that? He chose to go out and baptize people in the Jordan River. And it was effective. Are we supposed to prepare the way of the Lord? It still applies to us, doesn't it? We're supposed to prepare the way of the Lord in people's hearts. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins. He dressed a lot like Elijah. In 2 Kings 1:8, it describes Elijah and how he dressed. His meat was locusts and wild honey. I've heard people say that this is like cheese curd or something. It's locusts. No, actually, it's locusts. Leviticus 11:22 says that locusts are clean. They can be eaten. Locusts, bald locusts, beetles after their kind, and grasshoppers. I don't know. I've never eaten a locust. I've never eaten a grasshopper. I don't really think I would, but it's nice to know that it's allowed. Do we follow the dietary laws now? Some people still do. I don't. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and the region round about Jordan. It wasn't everybody, but everybody in those areas was represented by people. And a lot of people went out to see him. And they were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. As we read, it was a baptism of repentance. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? They had heard that he was saying the kingdom of God is at hand. And as I said before, they were curious about it. And they came out to see what was going on. They weren't really seeking. They were just wanting to know what was going on. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. A baptism of repentance, if it isn't going to be producing fruit, then what good is it? And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. It's believed that he was baptizing at a place called Bethbara, which means house of passage. In the book of Joshua, it's the exact same place where the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. And there are stones there. There are monuments, stones there that were set as a monument. They were taken out of the river and they were put in the land on the shore. And also stones were taken off the land and put back in the river. There were memorial for all generations for people to look at and remember that God had done something there, because God parted the waters there. So when he said God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones, that's the stones he's talking about. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Every tree that doesn't bring forth fruit is going to be cut down. Does God do that still? In the book of John, it talks about the pruning. He prunes the branches that aren't producing fruit. He prunes us. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, in the Jewish law, it was such a menial task to take somebody's shoes off that a slave wasn't required to do it. But yet he's saying he's not worthy to even take his shoes off, the Lord's shoes off. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Winnowing fan or a pitchfork or a basket, they would take the wheat that they harvested and they would throw it up in the air, and the wind would catch the lighter, the chaff, and blow it off to one side, and that which was good came back down. That's how they separated it. But he's comparing that to what he does for people. Are we going to be chaff or are we going to be wheat? Are we going to be the good fruit or are we going to be the useless fruit? Okay, verse 13. You ever read the Bible and study it and you have like a wow moment where you notice something? Or something is revealed to you, and it just makes your jaw drop, and you just, wow. I had that happen to me this week with this verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Jordan River in Hebrew is Yarden. It means descended. It's the most, of all the rivers of the world, it's the one that slopes the most. It starts way up in the mountains, and it ends up in the bottom of the Dead Sea, which is about 400 feet below sea level. It's the deepest point on earth. So the water itself descends from on high to the lowest parts of the earth. Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? So the Jordan River could be a type of Jesus Christ, isn't it? If I'm going to back up a little bit. It says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee. What does Galilee mean? It means foldable door or a valve? That's an opening.
Right? Is Jesus an opening? He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through Him. It also says that it means ring or circle. In the Hebrew, or in the Greek, the single definition is circle. Now, a ring or a circle are both openings, aren't they? But where does a circle start? Where does the circle end? It has no beginning. It has no end. So when it says Jesus is from circle, Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Then cometh Jesus from everlasting to everlasting. Isn't that amazing? Why was Jesus baptized? Was he baptized as a sign of repentance? He didn't need to repent for anything, did he? Maybe to keep up appearances? Everybody else is doing it. Maybe to show approval of what God, John was doing. That could be true. To fulfill the law? To be ceremonial cleansed for his entrance into ministry? That sounds reasonable too, doesn't it? Because he identified as the offering, or he identified as the sacrifice? Because he identified with us, taking our and took our place as sinners? He became like us, so we should strive to become like Him, shouldn't we? Because the Father wanted Him to? That's a pretty good reason. Or to show prophetically His death and resurrection, because that's what baptism is, isn't it? We die to the old nature, and we're resurrected to the new nature. Jesus didn't need to die to the old nature and be resurrected. But yet, by doing this, he's showing prophetically what lay in store for him. I'm going to skip over to verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Everybody else came up confessing their sins. Jesus didn't have to, did he? In I don't have the reference on here. Yeah, in John 1:32, it says he came up praying out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. The Spirit of God, one of the songs we sang this morning was about, it mentioned the Spirit of God descending like a dove on us. It says it, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. John 1:32 says, it abode on him. It remained on him. It stayed with him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is actually a combination of two... from two passages in the Old Testament. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Psalm 2 is a psalm that was read when a king was coronated, when a king was crowned. verse 7 of Psalm 2 says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Isaiah 42:1, which is a psalm about the suffering servant or the Savior, said, Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. So the quote from Psalm 2 identified him as king. The quote from Psalm 42 identified him as the suffering servant, as the Savior. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. It said in Isaiah 42, and that was fulfilled also, wasn't it? It's believed that the descendant, whether it was a dove itself that literally came down or just something that was in the shape of a dove, it's not certain. But the Spirit of the Lord descended on him like a dove. Isaiah 11:2 says, And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. 61:1 says, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I'm going to go back to verse 14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? What's he saying?
What?
He wasn't worthy. He was saying he's a sinner. He was recognizing who he was. He was recognizing who Jesus was. It says in John that when he saw Jesus walking by, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In Luke chapter 23:39-43, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to read it. But Jesus is crucified. He's on a cross, and there's two other crosses, one on each side, and each one has another person on it. Now, in Matthew, it says that they were both reviling him. They're both giving him they're insulting him and giving him a bad time about being there and about if you're who you say you are. You know, Jesus heard that a lot. In Luke, after a while, one of them changed his mind about what was going on and about Jesus. Something happened. He saw something for some reason, and he recognized who he was. And the other sinner said, Why don't you climb down off that cross and save yourself and save us too? But the other one said, Don't you even fear God since we're under the same condemnation? We deserve what we're getting. He doesn't. Then he said, Lord, remember me when you come into my kingdom. What's he saying? He's recognizing who he is. He's recognizing who Jesus is. That Jesus is without sin, but he was. He called him Lord. And he also recognized that there's something beyond this life. And that Jesus is going to be king there. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, This day you'll be with me in paradise. Doesn't seem like he said very much, does it? I'm going to ask everybody to repeat those words after me. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Simple prayer, isn't it? Today is Communion Sunday. We do this once a month, first Sunday of the month. I'm going to ask George and Bill to come forward and pass out the elements. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Verse 28 said, But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I'm going to encourage everyone just to bow your head and just talk to the Lord. Examine yourself and talk to the Lord about it. Do you have anything against a brother? Do you have anything against a sister? Do you have anything that in the sight of the Lord would make you unworthy? Now is the time to talk to the Lord about it. Has everybody been served? We miss anybody? Paul writes, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. The blessing he would have spoken over the bread in Hebrew is Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Homotzi Likim Minharetz. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, who brings forth bread from the earth. Isn't it amazing? Even in the Hebrew blessing, it talks about Jesus Christ's resurrection. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may eat the bread. The blessing he would have spoken over the wine is Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Bori Peri Hagafen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Also, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament of my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You may drink the cup.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts, for providing your word. Lord, we just ask that you change us, renew our hearts, throw out the stony heart. Replace it with the heart of flesh. Lord, I pray that you'd go with each one of us today as we go about our day, Lord, and just be with us and guide us and direct our steps. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bring us back together, Lord, when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. That concludes our service.